you to make sure that everyone's extra careful with this delivery. Post office could take a lesson from us. Never lose a package.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains light?
Well, what in the world do we have here?
Pennies from heaven, you and me.
You look like a man who knows his way around a card table.
All right, that's a clip from the show Vegas. Dave is joining us. Dave Damiani, is that right?
That's right.
Did
that's
I nail it?
You nailed it.
My rusty Italian. You know, being Italian, I should get those names right away.
That's pretty good.
But I know, but I want to do something with it. Like I really want to deliver it.
Damiani.
Yeah, that's good. Damiani.
Oh,
I like that. Damiani. Pennies from heaven. That's from when you were on Vegas a few weeks ago.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. Lyman and I, who's on his way. Hopefully
Lyman, my brother.
Your brother.
He's the best.
We got to do a couple tunes on the show Vegas. We did Pennies from Heaven and On the Street Where You Live. It was pretty awesome.
I love On the Street Where You Live.
Yeah,
that's great.
Great.
That's great. Great song. You know, it's funny, and you got the show at the Catalina tonight.
The Catalina Jazz Club.
Watch What Happens.
Watch What Happens CD.
I love the title of that album, by
really?
The way. Yeah, I do like
Thank
it.
Thank you, man.
I do like it. It's better than the show on Bravo, Watch What Happens.
I heard about that.
Yeah, did someone bring that up?
Someone did bring that up.
Some gay guy walked up to you and was like, hey, you mean like the show? No. No, not like the show. By the way, we're here 603 North Hollywood Way. Is it North Hollywood Way? Or is it Hollywood Way? Yeah, Hollywood Way. We're at 603 Hollywood Way here at Taste Chicago in Burbank. Arlene Montaigne's fantastic, fantastic Chicago food joint. Dave, you've eaten here, right?
Yeah, I had the deep dish last week.
Any good?
Delicious.
All right.
Delicious.
Yeah. Cheesy, right?
Yeah, it's pretty hard to do, and I'm surprised.
Even the 7-inch, it's hard to finish, right?
I didn't finish it.
You didn't finish it?
No,
yeah,
I didn't finish it last week either. It's a project.
Lyman. His brother, he's so fucking big.
I like how he always dresses like he's on stage.
I know.
Smooth.
He's a star. Well, I bet you anything, Lyman, in order to afford to be out here, lives like 2 hours away, so he's getting ready for a Catalina.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's what it is. He's just all ready. He has to live in Pacoma or something.
Lyman, who has one name because he's an artist.
That's right, cause it's too hard to pronounce the second one, that's why.
What's going on, brother?
Not much. Excited for our show tonight.
I'm going to get to see you perform with someone other than Steve. This is weird for me. It's like watching you cheat.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm watching you cheat on Steve Terrell.
Steve will even be there tonight.
So that's even creepier?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like Steve's in the corner. He's like, yeah, cheat on me. Yeah, I want to see this.
He's like a cuckold.
Let's do this, baby. Let's do this.
Okay.
Cuckold me, baby.
I like that. Ooh, playing coy, huh? I like that. Wait a minute.
I'm going to go, and I'm looking forward to this.
That's cool. I've only ever seen you guys at Steve Tyrell shows, too.
Well, listen, that's all I ever go to.
We don't have that Catalina kind of income, you know?
I'm waiting for that Carlisle income so I can come see in New York.
Oh, geez,
that's what I want.
Too.
Let's just say I put your CD on my cinder block shelves, okay?
Yeah.
That's cute, though.
At Matt Aaron on Twitter.
Oh, yeah,
like
Matthew
us on
Aaron
Facebook.
On Facebook, yeah.
Stitcher,
yeah.
Of course, you can follow us there.
www.thematthewaronshow.com.
We're on iTunes.
I see, I'm just rolling right into things.
Uh-huh.
I just want to hang out.
Lee Capreas, hello.
I'm not really doing a professional show today. I'm hanging out.
I know.
It's weird. Well, I taped an interview with P.J. Hogan, who's going to be on in like 20, 25 minutes, and P.J.'s new movie, Mental's, out. But P.J.'s Australian. And I don't think he comes here
that
often.
Why are there so many Australian actors in Hollywood?
I don't know, seriously. But they all love me.
Well,
the Australians like me. The Americans, not so much.
What we were saying was they have real macho leading male actors, too.
Right.
And mm-hmm. kind of a resurgence of, like, geekiness is cool now. It means we're getting a lot of geeky character actors,
yeah.
but we're not getting those Russell Crowes and those Guy Pierce's.
Oh, I
and,
see.
And so we're.
I like that Guy Pierce's.
Yeah, we're insourcing.
Right. We have been, yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, the Australians seem to love doing the show. And then they all want to go, like, hang out and, like, get a beer and shit.
Nice.
And the Americans that come do the show, they're like, all right, how long is this thing? Let me check my watch. When do we get out of here?
I got a thing to go to.
Yeah, the worst. The worst. Yeah, they always have a thing.
Yeah.
There's always something right after it. Like, Australians, it's like they didn't have anything going on today. They decided to do this because they thought, maybe it'll be cool. And then their day's free. Every American you meet, especially in Hollywood, I have somewhere to go right after this.
They left the bar at 3 p.m. to come and do this show.
Nice.
And hopefully make it back before they start.
You guys need more jazz musicians. The coolest, no one will listen to your show, of course.
Well,
but
see, that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem. I do like people listening to my show. So I sneak in a jazz song here and there.
Excellent.
And my audience is like, go back to talk about getting laid. And, you know. But,
you like
but, yeah.
Steve's new stuff, Matt?
Have you I love it? Steve's new stuff.
Yeah, I like it, too.
Yeah, I got the sample album. And I'm waiting to have them on. I think next month it's coming out. Is that the deal? It's
last
ready. To,
I heard.
It's ready to go. I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hearing it's getting there.
I'm just the bass player. I'm not privy to the official information.
Oh really?
But yeah, I've heard that too.
John Allen. He keeps things from you.
Exactly.
Yeah. He plays
a
close.
What a good friend.
Plays a little close to the vest. That
yes,
John
he
Allen.
Does.
Yeah.
Yes,
right.
He does.
Right. No, but it sounds great. I love that song, Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's
a great one.
I'll tell you what. No one's done it really. I mean, I think that's the song. I do. I think it is. Because no one's done it.
Yeah, we've been closing the show with it. It's a good one.
It's great. And then are you guys doing any Catalina gigs with Steve?
Tonight, not till October.
Tonight it's our good buddy Dave.
Dave Damiani.
Damiani. Are you ready for tonight?
Yeah, man. We're ready for tonight.
You got the whole Vegas audience coming by?
Yeah, we got some Vegas. Maybe the music supervisor's coming by. Maybe the producer.
I'm just going to throw out a guess here.
Yeah.
And I love Steve to death.
Damn
but
God.
I'm going to throw out a guess that you are going to skew to a little younger demographic tonight.
We're trying to.
And maybe less old Jews from Florida.
The only thing is the old Jews from Florida.
Hey, they got the money,
they're
brother.
They're a spending crowd.
They got the money.
And they're jazz buffs.
He's very careful not to alienate the rich Jews.
Yeah, don't alienate them. I'm not saying alienate
them. I love rich Jews.
But listen, I love going to Steve's shows and seeing Lonnie Anderson, but when she's the youngest broad in the room, I know I'm not going home that night with anybody.
Right.
I'm going home with Lee.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm hoping
another
going to Dave's show, I'm going to see a lady here.
The girls on the cover of the record should be there as well.
And for our radio audience who can't see, Dave doesn't know how radio works. It's okay. But there's a smoking hot blonde broad and a smoking hot Asian broad on the cover. Photoshop, not?
No.
Find out live.
Well, they
watch what happened at the Catalina.
Tonight, baby.
That's right. Find out if Dave's just a big prankster and this is some tranny Filipino broad.
He doctored it.
With a 4-inch wiener and then a hot blonde who we probably got off of Sunset Boulevard.
Put a wig on his cousin. And
right. So what are you going to play tonight? You got an hour and 20, hour 40 minute set? Is that what you're saying?
Hour 20.
What are you, Springsteen?
You're not doing two. I won't do two sets a night, baby. I can't.
Fucking Huey Lewis over here.
Yeah, look at this guy.
He's got the whole album. He's going to do the whole catalog.
Yeah, we're going to open up with I Want a New Drug.
Yes.
If you do open up with I Want a New Drug, I would be very impressed.
A jazzed up version of I Want a New Drug.
I think you could do that version, though.
Yeah.
We have a jazzed up version of Raspberry Beret by Prince.
I love that.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Cool.
That's awesome. Let me tell you, though, if you want to steal a great idea, I threw this out to John Allen this week for Steve. But if you want to capitalize on it before Steve does, there is a song that Billy Vera used to do and Bublé did.
What would you think?
At this moment, right. I think you'd kill that, right?
Did Bublé do that?
Yeah. But I think Steve would kill it. I don't know why Steve hasn't touched that song.
That's a good tune.
I know. It's a good tune.
That's a really good tune.
Yeah, why aren't you doing it?
I don't know. You know, it's kind of like Billy
Vera
was like a big time, like, industry guy that sung on a lot of stuff and used to be like the guy that everybody used to call to do the parties.
Yep.
And then he had that hit, and that was his big hit. And that's kind of like the Billy Vera thing. Maybe that's why nobody's touched it, because that was
his... Well, Bublé did. And he did a good job. He did a good job. But, you know, I just think Steve could do a little... So, I call up John Allen, and I'm like... Listen, John, I'm going to take over Steve's career here.
This is a major segment of the show, is us thinking up things for Steve to do.
Yeah. That is like an eighth of my life.
Yeah.
That's a good percentage. Yeah. What can we get Steve Tyrell to sing for us next with that raspy, beautiful Texan voice?
Pure imagination from Willy Wonka.
That'd be good.
Come on.
That'd be good.
So what do you got on the docket tonight?
We got most of the songs from the record. I think all of them. Watch what
happens. The songs from the record.
Welcome to the Club, Tempted.
So we are going to hear some Raspberry Beret.
We're definitely going to hear Raspberry Beret.
That song's great. We're
definitely going to hear On the Street Where You Live, that was on Vegas.
I love that song.
Definitely going to hear The World Is Against Me, an original.
All right.
Definitely.
You got a few originals on
just
here,
that,
right?
Just one? Just that one.
Which one is that one?
The World Is Against Me.
The World Is Against Me.
Yeah.
Oh, the one that says... Dave Damiani.
Dave knows Wednesday is Prince Spaghetti.
Can we say one thing, though?
Sure.
The Catalina needs some, like, more Italian food.
They need to do something.
Yeah.
They need to do a little something.
We need to bring a chef in there who knows how to make something other than egg noodles and ketchup.
I wouldn't call it egg noodles and ketchup.
Maybe
but you got to get a little Italian going on the menu.
Did you see
I
just feel we're going to a Steve Terrell or a Dina Martin show and
not
getting
being able to
chicken nachos.
Yeah.
With...
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little weird.
Let's get some veal parm in there, some shrimp Dijon, just some class it up a little. Something with wine sauce.
Maybe it would help if the food didn't sit in the window for about 10 minutes.
Oh. You know, I like Dave. He's shitting on the place where he's performing tonight.
No, I'm just kidding.
By the way,
just kidding. They got
the Catalina now has someone else performing this evening.
They got a KFC heat lamp. Come on.
Yeah. KFC's pretty good. What's not KFC? Depends on the KFC you go to. But you can't knock KFC. I love Popeyes.
Yeah.
Popeyes is my guilty pleasure. But ever since I got the diabetes, I've been dieting. I've not had any fried chicken I haven't had fried chicken in like 6 months.
I've been eating fried chicken for both of us.
You have
KFC's been. KFC's
been
sending us coupons in the mail, so I've been going there instead of Popeyes, even though I like Popeyes chicken better.
I love the only reason. You'll go to our house, and there's like a stack of mail, right? The only reason.
Did you say mail or mayo?
Mail.
Okay, cool.
And mayo. And mayo. There's tons of mayo everywhere. But or we think it's mayo.
But that is my...
But you see a stack
I don't
of,
have a girlfriend.
You'll see a stack of letters everywhere, and you go, huh. No one cares about the letters. Who's getting the mail? And I always know it's Lee, this coupon-clipping Momo over here.
Because
I know he's stealing all the coupons. That's the only reason he goes to the mailbox, to get the coupons for his Carl's Jr.
Yeah. But that's the only thing I get coupons for.
But the rest of your bills just sit in the pile.
I know, the bills.
You don't
yeah.
touch the bills.
No.
You just go for the coupons.
Well, I pay all the bills online. It's not like I'm not paying them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. But,
all right, we believe you.
Yeah. So the money you're saving isn't going to the...
The money that
notices.
I'm saving is going towards paying the bills online. That
okay,
70
good.
Cents I'm saving on a chicken meal.
There you go.
And, okay. Yeah. All right.
But you know what? I do walk there because it's in walking distance of our house.
Well,
Matt will
too.
Not drive
that's
three blocks
too.
To go somewhere. He will not walk.
No, yes, I will.
He'll
I go
drive.
With Caesar all the time. I walk to NoHo all the time. That Starbucks on Magnolia and Lancashire, I walk there.
Haven't seen
Vicious
it. Don't
dogs.
Buy it. Anyway.
Well, that's because you're at work. You're doing like your blue collar bullshit.
That's right. No, we want to work.
He has a job.
No, we want to work from the apartment.
We did. We walked 3 miles one day, and
really?
He was
Ouch.
Bitching the whole time. I go, this is great. It was like 40 degrees. I'm like, this is awesome. Go on a 3 mile walk.
You
and,
walk down Laurel Canyon or up Laurel Canyon?
To Laurel Canyon.
Oh.
And back.
Okay.
To four. I
what,
went to 4
when
and 20.
When it started getting higher,
went,
you went.
No, no, no.
You...
I went to 4 and 20 and
oh, okay.
got my vegan scrambled.
Oh,
yeah. Do you?
Oh, love it.
What do you guys
Late
do?
Night pie.
You guys both live out in this area, right?
Yeah, totally.
All right. What are the places to go to other than Taste Chicago here on 603 You love Philly's best, too. I do, too. An Olive, right?
Chicken cheesesteak is the best.
An Olive?
And Dave's from the Philly area.
Philly's best, an Olive, is the real deal. I agree. Everyone I've taken there from Chicago, the East Coast, everywhere, they're like, okay, this is actually better than we expected.
Monday, he picked up some Philly's best, brought it home. I split it with my dad. My dad's like, let's go to Philly's best again today. My dad's
the same day, right? The same day. You have one Philly cheesesteak there, and you want to have another. And I get the chicken. I get the Philly chicken with mushroom and onion.
I always get the chicken, too. Yeah, me too.
Mushroom, onion?
And extra fried onions.
What kind of cheese?
American.
Yeah.
All the way American.
Listen, the Whiz, it'll sit in you for like 4 days.
It's so nasty.
It's so bad for you.
You get the Whiz on the fries.
Yeah, you could do the Whiz on the fries. They got the pizza fries, too, which is a little extreme.
Yeah, it's a little...
Have you been to Southside?
Not as good.
Not as good. You're right, not as good. Cheaper, though. A little cheaper. And they got more stuff to order if you don't want a cheesesteak. But why would you go to a Philly joint and not get a cheesesteak?
I'm going to go get stuff for a burger. I go to Islands. I like Islands.
You do?
Huh.
In Burbank.
Nobody else like
the one in Burbank?
I love it.
Okay. I
hate
love,
Islands.
I don't love Islands.
I hate Islands.
The best fries ever.
Islands?
Love the fries.
In Burbank.
Really? He has appalling taste in food sometimes. He's right on with Philly's best, though, I will say that.
No, Philly's best is right on, but now I'm suspecting the rest of your list is Islands, Barney's Beanery.
Yeah.
I don't like Barney's Beanery.
All right, no one should. No one should. There's nothing good going on.
What do you guys, like the hipster burgers? Umami, the counter?
No.
Like no.
I went to Umami the day before the pilot. And off of someone's recommendation. And Phil Rosenthal is actually a part owner of it. And so I went to go check it out. It's $20 for a White Castle with better meat. I mean, the thing is the size of your fist.
It is pretty small.
I mean, it's
good.
It's delicious.
But those other places, the burgers are just needlessly excessive. Excessive ingredients, excessive size.
It is. Umami is.
Kuma syndrome.
Yeah,
why
Kuma
I think
syndrome.
Kuma's is overrated.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Chicago listeners.
No, you're right.
You're moron.
You're right. A burger is, I don't know. I don't like dressing up a burger too much.
Nothing like a $6 burger, huh, Lee?
Well, no.
Yeah, the Umami doesn't send coupons. This is the problem.
Yeah, I don't get
this
any.
This is the problem. There's no Umami coupons.
They don't take Carl's Jr. coupons?
No.
No, they don't. I tried. They don't take my KFC six punch six and get a free thing of...
Have you been to Roscoe's yet?
No.
Come on. It's the best.
Okay.
It is. I think it's the best fried chicken, too.
My dad said to me, he goes... Chicken and waffles. Why would I want that?
And then you have it, though, right?
Then you have it.
And then you're like, you can't. And by the way, the waffle they give you there is like the Griddle Cafe size. Have you been to the Griddle?
I don't think I have.
The Griddle on Sunset.
Big,
yeah.
Big pancake?
Right.
Yeah.
That's the best breakfast in town.
It's pretty awesome.
It's the best breakfast in town. But Roscoe's is great. And they give you that huge waffle. The syrup's homemade. And then that whatever spices they use in the chicken, it's out of this world. It's out of this world. Dave, explain something to me. You're a Philly guy, right?
Yeah.
What's Philly pizza? Come on. Get real with me here.
Philly pizza is the same as New York pizza.
Yeah, so why do they call it Philly pizza?
I never heard of it. We just call it pizza.
In Chicago and at that Southside Philly place on Olive or off Olive, they have, and in Chicago they have this too, they have Philly-branded pizza where it's like Philadelphia pizza. I go, what's Philadelphia pizza?
It means
it's bullshit.
It's the same,
okay.
It's the same as New York pizza.
All right.
Do they, I didn't have pizza when I was in Philly, but do they fold it down the middle, the slice?
I mean, you
and eat,
some people do.
Like
I
on
do.
The East Coast,
you
really?
You guys do the fold?
Yeah. I like the
I don't do
I
the
mean,
fold.
If it's a real thin.
Don't get it.
No. I do like the fold if it's real thin and real wide.
Yeah,
if it's
like
wide and thin, you got to do the fold.
I still don't. Even if
really?
It's a big floppy New York-style slice, I still don't fold it.
You don't like the fold?
Yeah.
No.
These guys are disgusting.
You never saw Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah, time. right.
What are you talking about? No. I've seen Saturday Night Fever more than everyone
he's
at this table.
He's seen Staying Alive more than anyone at this table.
I watched
it. That's what he's seen.
Every day for 2 years straight. I'm not joking. I watch that show. I'm with it every day for 2 years straight.
You don't have a Frank Stallone poster, do you?
No, I'm not a homosexual. Anyway, we...
if you saw Saturday Night Fever and you saw Tony Manero walk down the street,
you got to fold the pie. You got to fold the pie. I agree. You like Mulberry?
It's pretty good.
Pretty good? What's the best New York
in
out
LA,
here?
Nope.
Hands down, nowhere close, Vito's Pizza on La Cienega Boulevard. In between Santa Monica and Melrose, it is unbelievable.
Well, if you want deep dish, it's here. Montaigne's
is
here.
Taste
Chicago to deep dish.
It's the best
if you want a thin slice, if you want the New York style, it's Vito's.
Vito's. Dude, we got to go. I'll take you there. You will right. flip out.
Have all we, right. Have I been to Vito's? I don't think I've been there.
No, you'll love it.
Is it off the Hollywood Boulevard?
It's on, no, it's on.
Is it a famous place?
It was a famous place. It used to be on Vermont across from LA City College, and he got so famous he moved it to La Cienega.
Answer truthfully there. Do they have better pizza than Islands has a burger?
They have better pizza. Then Carl's Jr. has a burger.
That Islands and your coupon clipping and your Islands loving have made both of your opinions moot. Anyone that's heard anything else is like, yeah.
I wish I never said the Islands thing.
Islands kind of killed you, bro. I mean, if you want a burger, go to Stout. Go to Stout on Ventura.
I just love the Hawaiian burger at Islands.
The Hawaiian burger?
I love the pineapple burger.
I had a burger at...
Who eats a Hawaiian burger?
As somebody who's Hawaiian like I am, I take offense that people can throw a pineapple on anything and call it Hawaiian. It's like automatically...
Yeah, right. As he sits next to us wearing his pineapple hat.
By the way, Lyman, is there any good Hawaiian food out here?
Hawaiian diner style...
You know where there is
where you get
Hawaiian
like the big
food?
Roll,
Hawaii.
Big bowl of rice, and like the
macaroni salad.
Yeah, right. There's nothing like that.
There's a place in Burbank. It was called Ohana, and then it just recently changed. It's okay, but if you go to Vegas,
yeah, what's
the
in Vegas?
California casino in Vegas is where all the Hawaiians
really?
Are gamblers.
That's interesting.
As are most Asians in Hawaii is
and Italians,
mostly by
Italians. We're degenerate gamblers. Don't leave us out.
California casino downtown Vegas, nothing but Hawaiians.
A place
and they
you
the
don't,
best Hawaiian
a place you don't
they do?
Get good Hawaiian
I'll check
food
it out.
Is Hawaii. If you've ever
really?
Been there, yeah. Oh, the food is just not good. There's
really?
A couple places.
You must have been in Honolulu then.
I wasn't far, but I was in the Big Island. But
oh, the Big Island.
Like Maui, no good food.
I wasn't on Maui.
Okay.
But
okay.
There's a number of places that have Japanese food that's, you
Japanese
know,
food
with sort
right.
of a Pacific flavoring to it.
How did the Japanese end up on
got to go to Kona Grill, brah. Downtown Kailua.
Well, I mean, explain to me how the Japanese ended up in Hawaii.
I don't know. Isn't that weird?
Is it that movie Pearl Harbor? Is that what it was?
Well, if you go there... If you go there, there's more Japanese tourists than American tourists.
Yeah,
it's
really?
Kind of weird. Yeah,
it's kind of weird.
So close to Japan,
that's like
I don't
their,
know.
That's
yeah,
their
maybe that's what it is.
That's their vacation spot.
I would think if I'm Japan, I'm staying away from there.
Yeah, it's kind
not
of
not good memories.
History,
yeah, right. Not good times.
Right.
So, all right, I'm going to go to the Catalina tonight. They're going to make me buy two items. What the fuck am I gonna get?
Get a scotch? No. Get a make.
I don't
mark.
Drink.
Oh,
I don't
oh,
drink.
You don't drink.
So I gotta get my sober Shirley Temple. This is how embarrassing the Catalina is.
Get,
I went there last time. I saw Steve a couple weeks ago.
Get their hot dog fettuccine.
Yeah, right. The hot dog fettuccine. Yeah, it's good. So I went there last time, and this guy, I go, okay, can I get a club soda with a little grenadine and a lime? He goes, okay. He comes back. He goes, real loudly. Here's your Shirley Temple, sir. I go, oh, dude. It's so gay. I look so... Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. The fake Robin Williams and his wife were... They were not going to bring me for that hot three-way
yeah, you
after that.
You turned to him and you were like, please, I don't need you embarrassing me here. I can do a perfectly fine job of that myself.
So do you want to hear the craziest story? I'll get your guys' opinion on this. So the women lately, just crazy. I've been meeting like broads left and right. They're nuts. I posted something. No. I posted something on Facebook today that I got to read to you.
Our listenership just went up.
Yeah. So there's this woman. There's this woman I've been talking to who I, whatever. So I honestly said to her, you know, I just really want to be friends and hang out and get to know each other, whatever. And she goes, well, if you are being honest, I will be honest, too. I am currently getting out of a dominant/submission relationship, to which I responded, a what? And she goes, a sex-only relationship, but I have to submit to the guy, ! Pretty much do whatever he says. Nothing abusive. But then she went on to tell me she likes to be spit on
and
choked and balls on her ass. Okay, yeah, what are we taking away from this? One,
I would take the choked away.
You need a body condom that is what you need.
You shouldn't have texted back, shut up, bitch.
Oh, that's what I realized, too. So I said, I don't really want to talk right now. This is weird for me. And I realized... like being mean to her was turning her on.
Yeah.
So she was hitting me up more. And
that's
I'm like,
the perfect relationship
I'm like,
for you.
Oh, this is brutal. It seems perfect, but it was brutal. Yeah. And anytime I got to wrap myself in saran wrap to have sex, no good. Dave, you're married now, but you would have gone down that road? Have you gone down that road?
I don't think I would have choked her.
Yeah, no choke.
Everything else I would have been down
the
with.
Spit on?
Yeah, I'd spit on her.
Jesus. See, I said to her, I'll do the choke, but the spit thing is like, It just seems disrespectful.
Jazz musicians.
Listen,
yeah.
I grew up a history buff, and spitting to me came with the, you know, whole civil rights period and stuff. It's no good.
Well, it depends where you're spitting.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Lyman, have you gone down this road with the crazies?
My girlfriend once asked me to slap her, and I did. And
in the face?
In the face.
Okay.
And I did, and she was really into it, and I felt bad.
Was she
afterwards.
Bleeding? You no. felt bad. You felt bad. My ex-fiance, one day she's laying on the couch, she goes, slap me.
Nice.
I go, I'm not going to slap you. She goes, fucking slap me, you pussy. I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
Is it Joe Pesci?
Yeah, right. She's Joe. Yeah,
harder.
I was dating Joe Pesci, bro.
Harder.
Sugar's bar.
That's good.
Oh, man.
And I go, I'm not going to slap you. And she goes, you fucking slap me now or we're done. So I fucking go like.
Or we're done.
I go. Like the lightest slap you ever seen. And she goes, you're a fucking pussy. And I'm like, this is just so weird. Like, I grew up, like, in a household where, like, you go out on a date and you don't get laid for, like, 6 months. Or at least, I went to Catholic school. You don't get laid till you, quote, get married. And, like, uh-huh. So when you're with a girl and all of a sudden she says, slap me.
I know.
It's
just totally rude.
I'm like, I can't hit a woman.
I can't do that.
No, I want you to hit me. No, it's weird. It's weird.
Did she want to hit you?
No. Okay. No, she wanted me to tie her up
she
with Nintendo
know you
controllers, too.
Oh, I,
really?
I go, well, we have nothing to tie you up with. She goes, we have the controllers. I go,
you know what?
Fantastic.
You could play that music that I have for the... I have a CD of the band called...
You have bondage music?
The Mini Bosses, and it's all rock, like, metal versions of Nintendo music
old
school NES.
Oh, I do
NES.
Like that. I
you
do like
play
that.
That and,
I know that music. That's good. Where do you find that at? Because that is good stuff.
They have an album. It's self-titled. The band's called The Mini Bosses.
I'll give it to you. Okay. Yeah. No, I've heard stuff like that. It's all cool. Like the 8-bit Nintendo music. You guys are doing that tonight at Catalina,
a bit,
right?
Yeah.
How much 8-bit Nintendo music you
We're
doing?
We're going to open up with the theme for Mario Brothers.
Super Mario.
We have
Super Mario 2 or 1?
We have a wonderful Bossa Nova cover of Castlevania.
There you go.
Dave,
you're
Italian. Is it Super Mario or Super Mario?
Super Mario.
Ah, come on.
Oh.
Come on. It's Mario Brothers.
Dave, you're breaking your mama's heart.
Mario Brothers.
I've never heard anyone say Mario before.
Mario Andretti.
Mario
Lemieux.
Super Mario Kart.
Mario Lemieux's from France, isn't he?
Yeah, well, it's like the classier version of Italian.
All right.
France is the classier Italy, okay?
I think Lemieux's French-Canadian, actually. Just saying.
Hey, I like France. I had a good time. Italy doesn't have a red district. Okay.
Really?
I don't think so. Yeah, it's run by the mob, and you'll die. It's a hostel, I'm sure. Caesar's offended. I said France is nice.
Now, what is?
Well, I kind of hear more about your ex-girlfriend, Jodi Arias.
Jodi Arias. Well, I'm still alive. I'm okay.
So you're home with her.
Well, we've been hanging out again. When I went to Chicago.
You screamed blue dolphin, and then she stopped.
Oh, no. She wanted me to buy her a dolphin once. One of those, you know.
Sure.
And it's like $180, and
yeah.
They sell them. They sell other ones for like $40.
You got to pay up for quality.
No, yeah. That's the thing. I don't think it's any different, is it?
Well...
Lee, is the dolphin any different from any of the other ones?
I don't know, but if you get one with the little rubber rabbit on top that's supposed to massage the clitoris,
the clitoris.
Then it's like an extra $40.
I don't know what you're talking
Holy
about.
Holy cow. Dave,
about
you didn't know what a dolphin
Latin
is?
Class.
You got a wife. She knows what a dolphin is.
She
knows.
She's
no, you think she's she doesn't
a,
have
she's
one.
She's more.
You think she doesn't have
she's
one.
She's more of the plug type.
Dave, do you ever travel?
Yeah, I've traveled.
By yourself?
Sometimes, yeah.
She has a dolphin. or else, she has something else,
well,
and you're hoping it's a dolphin.
What is a dolphin? What is it? Is it looks like a dolphin?
Yeah, it's sure. It's got the little dolphin tail and the dolphin head. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Imagine a dolphin in your vagina.
With the blowhole.
So we were hanging out back in Chicago, and she and Terzo were talking about, like, all the stuff they're into. And Terzo was talking about, like, mummifying people and, like, have you heard of mummification sex?
No.
Oh, yeah, it's like when you wrap someone in, like, duct tape or, like, something complete latex, whatever, and they're, like, mummified. They can't move at all.
That's the kind of sex I have now.
Except that's called dead fish.
Yeah.
I'm
called,
a dead
it's
fish
called regular
too.
Married sex without duct tape.
Yeah, all the money we you save just, on duct tape.
You're like you're dead, suffocating, kidding, can't
honey.
Move.
You know what guys do know. When they hook up with a woman who they don't want to hook up with is they do the dead fish, because I do it all the time. I went out on a date last week. I didn't like the girl, but we went to her place, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't into it. But my move is, when I'm not into it at all, is I just lay there. Dead fish. I'm a dead fish.
Hmm.
It's pretty much
were
like
you,
rape.
Are you like me, where you watch the movie Up in the Air, and when he does it with Vera Farmiga,
yeah.
And she's like, I like the way you burritoed me in the couch cushions. And if you're like me, you're like thinking, what is that?
Yeah, what's
I
a burrito?
Do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like you wrap someone in the cushions or something like that.
We're here with Dave Demiani.
Damiani
and Lyman. Lyman, how do you pronounce your last name?
Medeiros.
Medeiros? It's really that easy?
It's Medeiros.
Medeiros. No, I like Medeiros.
Yeah, Medeiros is a lot
easier.
Yeah,
I like Medeiros.
I grew up in Indiana. It's been Medeiros.
I like people. I see a lot of people like you now who you can't really tell what they are. Like you,
yeah, no, like, I know exactly what you
could
mean.
You could be Italian, Puerto Rican, Filipino, Hawaiian. I like that.
I was going to go Puerto Rican.
I live in a very Mexican neighborhood, and
do
people
you?
Talk to me in Spanish all
What's
the time.
What's the best tacos out here?
The El Gordo taco truck on Glen Oaks Boulevard.
Okay, the taco, is that in Echo Park?
It's on Sunland.
My taco truck.
What do you think of King's Tacos, though? The good one in downtown L.A. Have you been?
Never been there.
Ooh.
Homemade tortillas, great chicken. It's fantastic.
Nice.
It's not in a friendly neighborhood, but it's a good time.
Good.
Line out the door. You get the rotisserie style. So we're at Catalina tonight. I'm going to be there.
All right.
Awesome. 8 o'clock.
Dave Damiani and the No Vacancy Orchestra.
The No Vacancy Orchestra.
17-piece
segment. Whoa. All 17 pieces 17 will be there tonight?
Yes.
Do we count the Asian broad and the white chick as 19 pieces? Yeah. 19-piece orchestra.
I got a coupon for a 19-piece.
There you go.
Well, that wraps that all up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to go to this interview with P.J. Hogan.
Please.
His new movie's Mental. Have you seen any of P.J.'s work? My Best Friend's Wedding?
Oh, sure.
Muriel's Wedding? Peter Pan. I know Lyman's favorite movie is Confessions of a Shopaholic. I can tell.
Busted.
I think he's more of a Devil Wears Prada.
It is. My Best Friend's Wedding's great. And we talk a little bit about that, but we mostly talk about Mental with Toni Collette, Liev Schreiber, and Anthony LaPaglia and Rebecca Gibney. And it's a fantastic movie. I think it's PJ's best work. It's dark, but it's really funny, and it's based off a true story. And I sat down with PJ last week, and we had some audio issues because he was somewhere, the cell phone thing, it wasn't working. So this is how I recorded the interview. So people are like, well, that sounds like they're like yelling at each other sometimes. I had a phone in one hand and my iPod recording it in the other hand.
Oh, geez.
So I'm sitting at like a 90-degree angle recording this interview. It actually sounds pretty good for 90 degrees. But just warning you ahead of time that if it sounds like we're in a parking garage beating the shit out of each other, we were. this is my interview with P.J. Hogan. He's a fantastic director. Please check out the new movie Mental. It's on video on demand now, and it's also on it's in theaters in L.A., Chicago, and New York. And Dave Damiani, I will see you tonight at the Catalina. Lyman, I'll see you tonight.
Thank you. Look forward to it.
Thanks, guys.
I'll see that guy Steve Terrell, whoever cares about him, whatever. You know, who else is going to be there? Lonnie Anderson?
I don't think Lonnie's going to come.
God, she looks great for her age.
Got to give it
to her. And for the money. Whatever that cost, it worked. It worked, whatever it cost.
Okay.
She was at Steve's last show.
Would you do it?
Huh? Would I do Lonnie?
Yeah.
Yes, just because Bert did. Yes. The only reason, but yes.
Yeah.
But thanks. Yeah.
www.hardknocksrecords.com. You can
www.hardknocksrecords.com. That's where you'll buy it. It's on vinyl, too, right?
It's on vinyl at hardknocksrecords.com.
Dude.
Or Amoeba in L.A.
I still
Amoeba.
Buy the vinyl. It's at Amoeba? Go to Amoeba on Sunset, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great. I love Amoeba.
CatalinaBarAndGrill.com.
Yep. CatalinaBarAndGrill.com.
You can tweet at me at Big Funky.
Big Funky, I like
Big
that.
Funky.
I like that. You got Big Funky, not Big Funky 1, not
nope.
Big Funky 2.
I got
2.
Big Funky.
Man, you must have been the day Twitter started.
No, like a couple years passed.
I didn't get. I have. I'm Big Funky One on Instagram.
See, that's how not creative everyone else is on Twitter. No one took Big Funky after years of being on Twitter.
I'm glad I got it.
Lee, do you want anything to plug? Do you got anything going on?
No.
Okay. Nope. I love how sad that was. Nope. All right. Here's the PJ Hogan interview. We'll be back in about 30 minutes. I'm with PJ Hogan. This is Matthew Aaron. And we are talking about his new film, Mental, which you can catch on video on demand. Is that correct?
Yep. And in, I think, theaters in New York and LA and Chicago. It's getting the kind of, it's everywhere.
Well, that's good. That's
in the ether.
Since you brought that up, that's interesting, because I was just saying before you called in how I now want to visit Australia really bad, because it's a very interesting setting for the film, where you set it in like suburbia. And I really like the fact that, I don't know if you've heard this yet, but it kind of has a Dr. Seuss kind of vibe to it in look.
Wow, no, I haven't heard that.
With all the colors and the ridiculous characters?
It's all based on my childhood, actual events. So I guess you could describe my childhood as, Seussian.
Well, I just thought, especially Rebecca Gibney, who's fantastic in it, by the way. She is great.
Rebecca is one of Australia's great actors. I mean, none of your listeners will know who she is, but if they see the movie, they'll never forget her.
That, I agree with you about that, because she was really, really great in it. But there's even like these characters are Seussian in a way where they're real world characters, but they kind of let their eccentricities come out in the movie, and that's kind of the point of the movie, is that we're all kind of mental.
Yeah, well, I think Seussian is another word for Australian. We're a very eccentric bunch down there. We really are. I'm not saying that the middle a documentary. I mean, first and foremost, it's a comedy. I did encourage some bigger moments, to me, the best comedy, the best laughter comes out of truth. And because it was based on, actual events, it was very important to me to keep true to what originally happened.
Yeah, and I just love, because you are one of those directors that you are not afraid to shy away from big comedic moments, and it's not just for the purpose of having them. They really add to the story. From Everyone That Remembers My Best Friend's Wedding, of course, with the restaurant scene, but there's a scene in this film in Mental with it involves menstruation and OCD, and it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Who'd have thought somebody would ever think of putting those two things in the one scene? the character of Shaz, who Toni Collette plays.
Yes.
She's in addition to being unhinged, all her time with therapists and in mental hospitals has made her something of, an expert in psychology. So she knows exactly, she diagnoses a certain character that she dislikes and comes up with the perfect way to avenge herself.
Yeah,
I'm glad you laughed, because that scene walks the line.
Yeah.
When we were doing it, I was thinking, wow, this is either going to be hilarious or half the scene is going to be.
No, it's great. And then do you pitch that to Jerry Zucker when you're telling him about the film 10 years ago? Because I remember when you guys did My Best Friend's Wedding, you talked to him about this idea for a film, right?
Yeah, well, I love working with Jerry. We had a great experience making My Best Friend's Wedding. So, you know, and there's nobody funnier than Jerry. I mean, he's just, you know, funny man in person. He makes very, very funny films. So, you know, I'm not dumb. I wanted to learn from him, steal from him, you name it. And, you know, I told him the story of Shaz. You know, keeping it short and sweet. You know, when I was 12 years old, my mum had a total nervous breakdown and was institutionalized. Except my father was the mayor of our town, a small town in Australia, and he was up for re-election. And he would say, you know, nobody votes for a guy whose wife is crazy, so you've got to keep this quiet. And we quietly ran amok. You know, we took advantage of my mum not being there. We ordered pizzas every night. We didn't wash. My sister dyed her hair blue. My father just, you know, had nothing much in common with us anyway. Just, I think he cracked as well because... He picked up a hitchhiker on his way to work. He stopped for a hitchhiker. He trusted her because she had a dog. And, you know, he brought back an insane Mary Poppins. we came home from school, and there's Shaz sitting there in our living room, a hunting knife sticking out of her leather boot, her dog, which turned out to be crazier than she was, growling at us, and she set the dog on us and made us clean the house. She said, no wonder you drove your mother nuts. But yeah, she turned out to be the most inspiring, brilliant, and craziest person I've ever met in my life.
What a great story. And I love the log line. I mean, that's a great log line. It's insane Mary Poppins.
Well, that's what she was, you know. Mary. I always thought of the film as Mary Poppins if Mary Poppins was on acid. You know? that's what you get. And the Sound of Music. I was almost, you know, the Sound of Music exactly referenced in the movie.
Yes.
Imagine Maria von Trapp out of her mind. She hasn't come from escaped from a nunnery. She's escaped from a lunatic asylum.
There's a very much of an element to it that the Von Trapp's gone crazy.
Yeah. Well, then that was my family. We were.
That's great.
Gone crazy, except none of us could sing.
Well, Anthony LaPaglia, he gives a great performance in it as the dad, and he plays the town mayor. How much of that is based off your own father, Anthony's character?
Oh, a lot of it. You know, I wrote my dad straight onto the page, and then Anthony interpreted, because it turned out we had very similar fathers. You know, these guys who were very, you know, who really believed that, you know, Anthony's dad, like my dad, just thought if you have a mental illness, if you're in any way psychologically vulnerable, you know, it's a sign of weakness.
Yeah.
And, you know, my dad advised to, you know, my sister has schizophrenia, in life, and the character I based on in the movie suffers from schizophrenia. My dad refused to believe it. His advice to her was get a grip.
Mm-hmm.
That was how my dad dealt with it.
Well, I remember when I was dealing with psychotherapy and stuff, my dad thought it was all horse shit. So I very much related to it. I also related to the fact that there are dads out there, and my dad had me, and I played sports, so it wasn't a big deal, but there are a lot of dads out there that don't know how to deal with having daughters.
Yeah, and they also don't know how to deal with sons who don't play sport.
Right.
You know? Which was me.
I was gonna say, I found it interesting because you brought up Anthony LaPaglia and you had similar fathers, and you both went into creative arts. What were your? Do you know? You may not know Anthony's dad's reaction, but what was your dad's reaction?
Oh, my dad was like, he probably not wrongly thought I was just choosing a life of permanent unemployment. Me shirking responsibility again. You know, that's what he thought. You know, I may as well have just said, you know, I'm going to be a bum, Dad. How's that strike you?
I that's funny.
I said film director, he is bum.
Is he happy? Was he happy for you once you had success?
Yeah, he was. I mean, you know, my dad was all about money. And in fact, my first successful film was Muriel's Wedding. So,
right.
And that too was autobiographical film, and they had a rather not very flattering portrait of my dad in it, played by the great Australian actor Bill Hunter. And so my dad had sort of, you know, I think if the film hadn't been as financially successful as it was, he probably would have killed me. The fact that it was a hit was mitigating circumstances for my dad.
That's great.
Otherwise, you know, pillow over the face while I slept.
Well, I remember earlier today we were talking about how I had a college professor who didn't really believe that men should write or direct a lead woman. Now, this is your second. You directed Toni Collette and Muriel's Wedding and this, and you Julia Roberts and Confessions of a Shopaholic with Isla Fisher. You do a really good job of making films with lead actresses where the actress is the lead. How much of that? What do you attribute that to, and what do you think of that theory that people shouldn't be directing the opposite sex?
Well, can I be frank?
Yes.
Your professor was and probably still is an idiot. you know, it's just ridiculous.
I agree.
Mental was a difficult project for me to actually begin because, you know, I think all writers need a way into a subject, particularly if it happened, if you experienced it personally. And I have four sisters. I love women. You know, I've been married for coming up to 35 years. It's not that long. My wife is going to be really upset when she hears this. I just put us into our 50s, which we're not. I'm no good at this. Terrible. Now I've ruined my marriage. Let's get back to what an idiot your professor don't name and shame, but, you know, to test anybody who calls in, you know, make sure they all avoid that film school.
I will.
I can think of so many films written by men that have great female characters and so many films written by women that have great male characters. So it's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense.
Yeah,
I think that's what I love about, I discover things about myself writing about women, you know, because I have to use my imagination, not being a woman. You know, I have to talk to women. And not just my wife. I have to say, what would you do in this situation? This feels right. So it provokes me to be a better writer and a better director.
Do you ever seek out, like, strangers to talk to so it inspires your writing? I find that's something I do.
Because strangers, you know, here's the thing. I love to, you know, even if I haven't written the screenplay myself, I like to research the world that I'm about to enter, the story that I'm about to tell. And the great thing about talking to strangers is, I don't know what it is, but when you know when somebody comes up and says, you know, tell me about yourself, and you don't know them, you find yourself just admitting the most extraordinary things.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
And I find that that's what happened. That's why I like talking to strangers, you know. Ask them about themselves. Well, tell me about, you know, what you do, about your life. And you'll be hearing pretty much the unvarnished truth. I mean, not all the time, but you choose the right person, you will.
Well, there's an element to that even in this film where Liev Schreiber's character meets Coral, and they have this bond right away, two complete kind of strangers. I mean, they do have the phone call at the beginning. By the way, Liev was an inspired casting choice because I know he's not Australian, but he is one of the best actors going. That was a great casting choice.
Liev's a brilliant actor. I mean, you know, I never thought I would cast an American in that role because, you know, that's the role that he plays is Trevor the Shark Hunter. You know, it's pretty much partially inspired by Steve Irwin, the late great Steve Irwin.
It's like Steve Irwin meets, like, Quint from Jaws, except Quint's, like, married.
Steve Irwin, if he was, you know, like, psychotically bent on murdering every shark that ever swam by his boat. And I thought it was going to be in Australia, and I really did. Liev approached us, actually. He got hold of the script, and because I'd love to say I'm that imaginative, but I didn't think of Liev for the part. One, I thought it was just completely, you know, beyond our budget, which, you know, because Liev, you know, can command deservedly a lot of money. But when I talked to him about the part, he said, "Well, don't worry about the money. I'll do it for what you've got." And we discussed the accent, and part of what I think, you know, Liev really got the character, but he also wanted to do the accent, because for an actor, the Australian accent is incredibly difficult.
Right.
I'll go out on a limb here. I'll say that Liev actually beat the great Meryl Streep, who, you know, in A Cry in the Dark, which I don't know if many people have seen, but Meryl did a very credible Australian accent in that movie, but Liev's is better.
No, I agree. He's great.
His accent is. A lot of Australian audience members who have seen the film and, you know, regular film goers, didn't recognize Liev Schreiber. They thought it was this amazing Australian actor that they'd somehow never seen before. So he fooled them.
That's great.
He fooled Australians. So that's how good his accent is.
Let me ask you, back to the part about writing for women and directing women, you're married to a woman who is a good director in her own right with How to Make an American Quilt and 1,000 Acres. What kind of knowledge has your marriage given you about women that you didn't have before marriage?
A lot. Yeah, you know, probably everything I know. You know, my wife's, you know, amazing, and she, we met when I was very young, and she was very young, you know, I was pretty hopeless with women, and you know, I'm now absolutely fantastic with women and married.
That's great.
God, I'm getting so divorced after
this. Well, if anything, she should feel good that she partly made you great with women.
She's still getting me divorced. Now you're a witness for the prosecution.
Let me ask you something that really intrigues me is there's a scene in the movie where Toni Collette is having it out with Rebecca's sister. Now, the word cunt is used pretty liberally. Why is that?
I wish they can't.
I know. Why is that more a liberal word in Australia than it is in America? What's the difference?
Because in Australia, cunt is a term of endearment.
I love it.
You know, it's not sexual at all. That's why, you know, Shaz uses it as a term of endearment. You know, I've actually been called a cunt by many Australian actors, and I'm pretty sure they meant it out of love.
Yeah, maybe it's their way of calling you a mensch in L.A.
But mensch is it? That's not profanity, is it?
No, okay, maybe it's more like when someone says, "Oh, he's a real son of a bitch," but he means it in a good way.
Well, since we're already, you know, gone in C-17, I think it's you know, in Australia, cunt is like fuck in the USA, not always used to describe the action that it was first invented to describe, you know.
I'm moving to Australia.
So, you know, we're a foul-mouthed bunch in Australia. And in fact, I went a little bit lighter on the real Shaz, because the real Shaz, I mean, every third word, I mean, she swore like a trooper. You know, she was a woman in lycra and with a hunting knife and a crazy dog, and she swore.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm not going to spoil the scene, but there's an amazing scene at the end of the film where she gets revenge on one of the characters. It's outlandish, and it's kind of like frat style comedy, but it's hilarious.
You know, and this will only surprise people when they see the movie. But I'm telling you, pretty much 90% of it happened. There was 10% that, you know, I had to invent just to keep the story moving. But the real Shaz was that outrageous. I mean, she was the first anarchist I ever met, and she hated conformity, absolutely hated it. And the theories that Toni Collette expounds in the movie is Shaz, were the real Shaz's theories. You know, as crazy as they sounded, but you know, I was 12, so I believed everything she said. Maybe except the part about her having a telepathic relationship with her dog. Even at 12, I knew that was.
It was a little loony.
Yeah, full tilt loony. And you know, it's but Shaz was. Our first champion. You know, when we were kids, we were like outcasts in our small town. You know, we were not the cool family. You know, in fact, you know, we were definitely the uncool family. And Shaz was the first person who said, you know what, maybe you're not losers. You know, maybe actually they are.
Yeah.
What you need to do is get the hell out of Dodge. So, you know, and I don't, everybody, you know, all kids need an advocate. You need someone in your corner. And I don't care. In my case, it was somebody who had escaped from a lunatic asylum, you know, who was mentally ill. And I didn't care, because she thought I was great. I thought she was great. And she changed my life, you know. She was, you know, she spoke her mind, you know, and a lot of people just feel so afraid to do that.
Well, it's one of Toni Collette.
To be normal, whatever that word means.
And Toni Collette, one of Toni Collette's best performances ever. And
you know, Toni's absolutely terrific in the part. I mean, she's one of the great actors that we have.
I mean, if you want to watch Toni Collette completely out of control, this is the movie.
Oh, Toni went for it too. I mean, she just didn't hold back. I mean, Shaz starts off in control, and then gradually you know it's a very clever performance, because Toni, you know, I don't want to give out spoilers, but
no.
Toni presents the character first off as, you know, somebody who looks like she's got everything under control, and then gradually you realize she is the poster child for anarchy. There's really nothing controlled about this woman.
The other thing I wanted to bring up is how great the relationship you developed between you showed high school love in a very real way, and I really wanted to compliment you on that subplot in the film with Coral and the guy at the water park. I thought that was really well done.
Young Australian actor who's really good. You know, he's yeah. Well, thank you. It's always tough when you're doing teen romance,
right?
Because it's definitely tilled soil.
Yep.
So I wanted to. You know, I worked very closely with the actors to make sure that, you know, it was. It felt like life, and not like you know, life is seen through a teen romance movie.
It was. It felt very real, very real. And there's a nude scene. It's not really a nude scene, but it's like, it's so tastefully and realistically done. It really is. It's great.
Yeah, I really like. like that scene. You know, that was great fun to shoot. You know, in Balsa Water Slide. And
yeah.
They did their own photography. It was shot on a GoPro.
I saw. Yeah, I was gonna ask if it was a GoPro. I was gonna ask if it was a GoPro. I thought it was too.
Yeah, it was a GoPro. The character, Sam Clark operated her shots. She operated his, and then I followed them down, also nude, just because I'm that kind of guy. You know, they've got to do me nude. I followed them down with a GoPro. So you know, it was great. It was just like it was just like stuff I've seen on YouTube. I was very proud to have achieved the excellence of YouTube.
Well, I was just happy. I really like your work. I was really looking forward to this interview, and I can happily say with no bullshit at all that I think this is your best film. I do.
Oh, well, thank you. You know what? I think it is too. You know, and I really hope people the great thing about it is that, you know, it's in theaters, but you can also look, as I like to do, because I have four kids, I like to download movies.
Yeah.
You know, I like to, you know, I would never have seen Bachelorette, which I loved, if it hadn't been, you know, pay-per-view. So it was a road that I think that as much as I love the film going experience, I just think the times are changing, you know, we got to move with it.
Yeah, that's really smart.
If we examine how we ourselves are watching movies, you know, we've changed too.
No, I agree. It's really smart. My last question for you is, and it's not related, but you can catch Mental on Demand now on video on demand or in theaters in L.A., Chicago, New York.
Oh, yeah. It's pre-recorded, right? So
right.
You have to cut that bit.
Right.
I don't say not now, but
yes, Friday, right. Well, which would be last Friday. Now we're confusing everyone. Just go to theaters and see it. But we recently did a pilot, and on the pilot was Kate Walsh and Lucy Lawless and Common and Joe Carnahan, and I executive produced it. And one of the guests was Dermot Mulroney, and you worked with – yes, you worked with him famously in My Best Friend's Wedding. And I just wonder if you had any stories about Dermot, or if there's a chance of you and Dermot working together again, because he's a lot like Liev Schreiber.
Yeah, you know, Dermot had a really difficult part in that movie because, you know, he kept saying, you know, film buffs will get this. He said, DJ, I'm the Ralph Bellamy role.
Yeah.
I've got to pitch it this way. I've got to be good enough for Cameron Diaz, but you've got to feel okay that Julia Roberts doesn't get me. I said, well, you know, that's possible, right? And he said, you know, these two of the most beautiful women in the world. How am I going to pitch that, Peter? He had a really difficult part. And he did it so well. I think the great thing about Dermot is that he comes off as the straight guy. You know, everybody else has, you know, there's Cameron, Julia, Rupert Everett, have all the big funny scenes. But if you've seen the film, you know, more than once, you can see that, you know, Dermot is very, very funny. Really slyly funny.
No, I agree.
He always, you know, and actually now people are discovering that, you know, it's a little, way beyond when, you know, when I knew, but they're finally discovering that, you know, Dermot's a funny guy. I'd love to see him do more comedy. I'm sure he would love to do more comedy.
Well,
in your pilot, was it a comedy?
No, it was a talk show, and Dermot was a guest on it. He did it as a favor for us. He was great, but it's like a dinner table round show, and it was a good time, and Dermot's just the best, and he's so funny. He is. He's wickedly funny. He'd be great. He'd be great in a Zucker film. He'd be great in a Farrelly Brothers film. He's great in your film. I think if you guys work together again, that'd be great.
Well, I'd love to work with Dermot again. You know, he's great at improv as well. All the actors that, you know, My Best Friend's Wedding were very skilled at improv. When I discovered that, you know, the script was good, really good. We always shot the script as written, but then it would get better because the actors were just, you know, so into character and could improvise while staying in character. You know, so, speaking of comedy, I should mention that the real Shaz is still out there.
Is she?
She is still out there. She must be, I don't know, 70. Probably still thinking she's the hottest thing on two spindly legs. But she's taken to Twitter to denounce the movie.
Oh, no.
Like, you know, I should, you know, if you want Shaz's side of the movie Mental, what is it? Her handle is at Shaz is Mental. Now, Shaz is spelled S-H-A-Z, which it's such an Australian, it's short for Sharon, but at Shaz is Mental. And she'll insult you personally, because she insults me every day.
I'm going to go get...
I like, you know, the film's crap, I never done that, except that one time when I pulled the knife on the bitch, which had it coming.
Yeah, I think I want to go get insulted by her. That sounds like a good time, actually.
Yeah, well, she won't let you down.
That's great. PJ, I thank you for your patience. Mental is in theaters, and you can catch it on video on demand. PJ Hogan, you're one of the best directors going. I love you, brother. You're great.
Well, thank you so much. Pleasure talking to you. Talk to me again sometime soon. It's been great.
I'd love to. Anytime you want to do the show. If you're ever in L.A., come on by.
I'm in L.A., you know, not you know, I live in Australia. I'm not there all the time. I don't live there, but I'm there, you know, often enough that if you don't mind me, you know, running amok in your studio, I'm glad. I'm happy to do so.
No, I don't mind running amok in my studio at all.
That's good. It goes on. We just babble. So yeah, the film is Mental. It's on video on demand now. You can see it in L.A., Chicago, New York. Toni Collette, Liev Schreiber, Anthony LaPaglia, Rebecca Gibney, PJ Hogan directed it and wrote it. And I think PJ was great. He was a great guest. Very open, very honest. Didn't hold back. I like that. I really do like that. It reminded me of when we had Matheson on a few weeks ago. Tim was great. Tim, just open, honest guy, doesn't really give much of a shit about speaking his mind. We are here at Tay Chicago, 603 Hollywood Way.
What did he ask you that got cut off there?
Oh, we just started gossiping.
I want to know how it ended.
Oh, he wanted to know if I would email him, and then he would call me. It is a schmooze fest.
Mm. Did you actually check out Shaz's Twitter feed?
Yes.
What does she say on it?
It's kind of insane.
Really?
Yeah.
Reading it on the show might be a good segment.
You think? Well, I have nothing else. I was just going to order food and quit. So
we'll see what it says.
All right. Let's check it out. Shaz is crazy.
Mental.
Shaz is mental, right? Shaz is mental. Are you sure it's not PJ like in a Shaz wig sitting at home? Like, I'll show them.
It's Toni Collette in a PJ wig.
Yeah. That's a good movie.
Yeah.
I'd see that movie. All right. Shaz is mental. Oh, God. She is insane. She just looks insane. Well,
Are there any good singular type ones
that are like
Jack Handy?
I'll give you a couple of her last ones. Yes. It's great that you said that because the very first one is, we happy few are idiots. Very Jack Handy indeed.
Yeah.
And lo, One Direction came before the Sphinx, and Harry asked, what will the others do when I go solo? And the Sphinx didn't give a shit. When I'm not doing this, I'm a pagan earth goddess. Typical day. Tweet, achieve pagan ecstasy. Tweet, worship my yoni. Tweet.
This is exactly what I imagined.
See this tweet. It makes you happy. Savor it. Because something inane or obscene is about to appear above it any second now. Well, that's probably true.
Yeah, that's been the most trenchant one so far.
She wrote a tweet to Michael Bublé.
Okay.
at Michael Bublé, is your last name pronounced Bubbly, Bublu, Bubbly, or Blue Blah? Right now, I say care for some boob just to be safe.
What? Blue Blah, I'm sure. Is,
I kind of like I can, Blue Blah.
Yeah.
I think he likes Blue Blah. That's good. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can find some. She ripped on the Da Vinci Code? My apologies to Dan Brown for insulting his masterpiece, the Da Vinci Code.
She's timely. She keeps up with current events, I will say that.
There's another Jack Handy. There's only shame if there's shame. And, of course, there's that framed autograph picture of Cher you're hiding.
That's pretty good.
Must be about the gays.
Yeah.
You think that's what that's about?
Yeah.
There's another tweet that says, fat, 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 fatty, fattest, fattest person ever. And then she took a picture of a random person. Oh, no, Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like it was written by the Japanese haiku artist Basho.
She says she's in Chicago. Here's my digs in Chicago, where I'll have a refreshing shower in black and white and 70 shots, each lasting 2 seconds.
Huh?
She's out of her mind.
She's nuts.
She is nuts. She is nuts. Change or die, they said. I became the Geico Gecko. They squashed me. Never underestimate the loathsomeness of the Geico Gecko. Oh, Simon Pegg. You wrote Simon Pegg a tweet.
Okay.
She did. At Simon Pegg, I am Toni Collette. Only I, Toni, would have this pic of me emerging bloodily from an elephant's vagina. I'm guessing
that was
Simon Pegg didn't get back to her. No.
I don't know, though. He might have.
He didn't.
Why was that meant for him?
I have no idea.
God, that's great.
Drunk. Forced to walk heel to toe in a straight line. Settled things with a quick blowjob. Good practice if I'm ever pulled over by a cop.
Oh, man. It's like having my grandma alive again.
Here's Toni Collette and Mrs. Schindler from Schindler's List being out-acted by a dog. That's lovely. That's real. Keep it classy, Shaz. Died young, innovative, rebellious, legions of devoted fans, and yet, Jesus, you got to admit that Kurt Cobain and Tupac made better music. Oh, she was talking about Jesus. Not
must have been Easter.
Of music.
Yeah.
She's mental.
Yeah.
Okay, so Shaz is mental. Go to her tweet. I'm following her now.
Yeah.
I got the follow going. I was going to tweet her myself, but I'm sensitive. I'm fragile.
Yeah.
I have a feeling she'd tear right into me.
She would.
Fatty would be used.
Fat, fat, fatty, fatty, fattest.
Yeah. Fat, fat, fatty, fatty, fattest is going to be bad. Yeah. So what am I going to eat? This is the question. We're at Taste Chicago Burbank.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. We're wrapping up, but I'm trying to figure out what. Is it North Hollywood? Oh, it is North Hollywood Way. I was right. Okay, see, I know my shit. What does Arlene Montaigne offer that I've not had yet?
I feel like listeners can recite this menu now.
I know, but I still haven't had the ribs.
Yeah, the ribs, I'm a little curious about.
I don't want to get fatter.
I'm a little worn out though on the food here, you know, every week. So I'm not gonna get anything this week because it is heavy duty food. I mean, they got salad, but you know.
Yeah, get the salad.
Yeah, maybe.
They got salad. They got sides too. They got small salads too.
Yeah, you're right.
Sweet pepper and eggs still my fucking go to. I love it. Oh, by the way, once again, Dave Damiani and Lyman Medeiros were in here for Watch What Happens album premiere tonight at the Catalina. It's at 8 o'clock at the Catalina. And, I'm going to be checking that out. I'm looking forward to that. What was I going to say, though? We had Dave on. We had Lyman on. PJ Hogan, mental. In theaters now in Chicago, L.A., New York, and you could catch it on video on demand on your Comcast, your DirecTV, and you can buy it up, and you can check it out. And, of course, as always, Taste Chicago, 603 North Hollywood Way, the best food outside of Chicago that is Chicago food. So you might as well come on by here and get an Italian beef. Caesar had the combo today that looked good. He says thumbs up. Cheese fries. Oh, you got garlic and cheese, you fatty McFatFat? Jesus.
And they're
garlic and cheese. You did the garlic butter and the cheese sauce. Dude, you're so disgusting sometimes. That's disturbing. Dude, I know. That's too much. Yeah, but I live with you. That's my bathroom.
Oh, it's a good thing we got two. Oh, I just bought toilet paper. I'm
I just
glad.
Threw up a little in my mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, those wedges are great, but you either go garlic butter or cheese. You don't go cheese and garlic butter.
No.
Oh, no. No, oh, not oh, yeah, oh, no. Mini deep dish, of course.
I'm getting IBS just hearing you describe that.
I pound out the mini deep dish every week. I got to tell you, it's great. I'm probably going to do another mini deep dish.
Okay.
I'm never going to mix it up like I want to. I was thinking spaghetti and meatballs. I was thinking, oh, man.
Oh, man.
And you know, Chicago dogs, Vienna beef. You get the Vienna here. And you can't get the Vienna really that many other places.
No.
None I could think of.
And the Maxwell Street, you get no other places.
So before we wrap up, you got anything you got to promote? Yeah, the Maxwell Street you can only get here. Maxwell Street Polish, only here.
No, I don't have anything.
All right. Well,
I did read there's a really good interview with Jimmy Kimmel in Playboy.
I read that. That's good.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Where he talks about it. He's shocked that he's successful considering he doesn't have what it takes to be.
Yeah, it's a good interview, but I think he's full of it.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's an act. I love Jimmy, but I think his whole thing's an act.
Really?
Yeah, I think Jimmy knows he's good, and I think Jimmy expects what he has.
Mm.
Yeah. But I love him.
Okay.
He's way too Hollywood.
What makes
he is way too Hollywood.
Right. Well, he is in.
He's
so.
Not only in, but he's in to the point where he wants to be the mayor of.
Oh.
And when you have that kind of agenda, I'm not saying agenda in a bad word, but when you have that agenda, you think you're good.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the whole Playboy interview was a lot of, oh, I'm just lucky to be here. And by the way, that's all BS. That is what people tell you to say once you're famous.
Right.
But before you're famous, you should never say.
Well, there is,
you
yeah.
never want to say before you're famous, I'm lucky to be here. Because they'll be like, eh. After you're famous, you're supposed to play down the fame so you don't look like a jag.
Well, I found it still to be a very amusing interview.
Like when you said today, to Dave, like, oh, well, we just feel lucky and blessed and blah, blah, blah. Agents out here would kill you.
Hmm.
They'd murder you.
Hmm.
They'd be like, I don't want him. They just hate that shit. They want you to be braggadocious and fool yourself until you're famous. And then when you're famous, you scale it back and you act like, I don't know how I got this lucky. I'm really not that rich. I got to pay the bills. I got to pay the bills. Yeah, it's a whole thing. I can't even read interviews anymore without like seeking out the bullshit in them.
Mm.
I do it now. Every interview I read now, just from doing this show, we're on 146 episodes. I know I can point out to you on our interviews when people are full of shit.
Huh.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can just tell. It's just so phony.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. My opinion.
Well, I turned a stone over there.
Yeah. Tell people. Oh, that's me. You're talking to me. I'm reading it out loud. Please be sure to check out the YouTube channel, The Matthew Aaron Show. And then I guess I should plug one more time since we didn't really properly do the whole thing. www.thematthewaronshow.com. But you know that because if you're listening live, you're listening to us right now on it. Or you're listening on iTunes. And if you're listening on iTunes, I hate you. No, I don't. But I hate iTunes. But still, leave your little comments or your remarks there and stuff. That's nice. Facebook, you go there and you type in the search of The Matthew Aaron Show and you click like. You can also go, Taste Chicago is on Twitter at Taste Chicago. What else? Stitcher. We're on Stitcher at The Matthew Aaron Show.
Listen, yeah, I mentioned that at the top of the show.
You did. You did. I know. I'm just rehashing. We're not hard to find.
Just Google The Matthew Aaron
Show. Yeah, just Google The Matthew Aaron Show. We're not hard to find. We're worldwide. And I'm watching these two nice people eating, and it's just driving me nuts. I need to eat. So we got to go.
Right.
They're having the garlic bread. They're having some spaghetti. I'm like, I'm dying here.
Okay.
So I got to go. Taste Chicago, thank you very much. PJ Hogan, thank you. Mental.
Thank you, PJ Hogan.
And Lyman and Dave as well. We'll see you tonight at the Catalina. Have a good night, everybody. Thank you very much.
I got to eat. I'm starving.